Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
We put that in our elected officials. Do they accept it? Do they embrace it? Do they abuse it? Is this just an Illinois thing that points to abuse? The answer is no, but a friend of the show, Austin Berg, has a piece up at Illinois Policy that he's referring to as the corruption tracker for 2019. And he breaks it down into four segments and finishes on what Springfield has talked about doing to address corruption, but has yet to embrace. So we'll point towards Mr. Berg's corruption tracker on the back half of today's show. It is lengthy, it is thorough, and he's got a lot of footnotes of sources, so we'll dig in after we get into the local aspect of what's going on. Joining me in studio, Steve Boll, pressing the buttons, including on his phone and tablet, and from the WTAD studio, say good morning to Scott Harding.
I think you made a new word there, Quaid.
What?
Lengthy?
Lengthy.
Yeah, I think that's a new one.
Maybe
good on you.
I'll live with it.
Good on you. There you go. Not unexpectedly, Quincy set a new record low temperature this morning. National Weather Service says that the low at Quincy Regional Airport this morning was 5 degrees. That happened at 6:35 a.m., and it breaks the previous record of 10 degrees set back in 1986. Quincy also tied a record low Monday with a low temperature of 12 degrees. That happened just before midnight. Our normal lows are around 35 degrees. The forecast does call for a warming trend over the next several days, with a return to near-normal temps by the weekend. Jury selection is set to begin today in the retrial of a Quincy man charged in the 2015 shooting death of Carlos Weyers Sr. Stephen Gavin is in Adams County Circuit Court for the first day of jury selection. It's expected to take up to 2 days. He's facing four counts of first-degree murder and one count of armed robbery. That trial is expected to take at least 6 days. Gavin's first trial ended in a hung jury in February after 13 hours of deliberation. He's accused of shooting Weyers in his North 4th Street home in November 2015 in a disagreement over the price of a drug sale. Gavin's also been charged with counts of possessing a weapon in a penal institution and intimidation. There were due to be status hearings in that case this morning before the start of jury selection in the murder trial. Gavin's alleged to have had a homemade knife in his cell April 27th, which was found during an inspection. He's also accused of telling Adams County jailers in early May that he'd kill any inmate who was put in his cell. Gavin's pleaded not guilty to those counts. He's in the Adams County Jail on a total of $5.5 million bond. Quincy firefighters responded shortly before 8:30 last night to a report of smoke at the Hotel Elkton in Quincy. According to our news gathering partners at KHQA, a gas heater started a small fire in a fifth-floor apartment. That blaze was quickly put out. No one was hurt, and the building didn't have to be evacuated. The Salvation Army Croc Center is now open for those who need a place to warm up over the next few days as well. Croc Center, of course, at 405 Vermont in Quincy. Building is open to the public for warming help from 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. In emergencies, the shelter opens for 24 hours. An Adams County woman was hurt Monday morning in a two-vehicle accident that closed part of U.S. 36 in Marion County for over an hour. The Missouri State Highway Patrol identifies the woman as 23-year-old Hannah Thomas of Fowler, says the accident happened at 8 a.m. 5 miles east of Monroe City. A report says Thomas lost control of her SUV on a slick bridge, slid into the median, and overturned several times. Troopers then say her vehicle went into the westbound lanes of 36 and ran head-on into a semi driven by 45-year-old Noor Omer of Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. Omer was unhurt, but Thomas was taken by ambulance to Blessing Hospital with what troopers described as moderate injuries. The Missouri Department of Transportation says the accident blocked both westbound lanes, causing them to be closed until around 9:30 Monday morning. Slick spot in the road contributed to a crash that sent a 55-year-old Honeywell, Missouri man to the hospital. According to the Missouri State Highway Patrol, Kenny Cantrell was east on 36, about 5 miles east of Monroe City, just a few hours after the earlier crash. According to the patrol, Cantrell lost control of his SUV, ran off the side of the road, hit a guardrail, and overturned, and again coming to rest in the westbound lanes. Cantrell was taken to Hannibal Regional Hospital with moderate injuries. Memphis, Missouri woman was hurt Monday morning in a one-vehicle accident caused by the wintry weather. The Missouri State Highway Patrol identifies her as 60-year-old Deborah Cantrell Anderson, says that accident happened at 7 a.m. on 61, 3 miles north of Canton. Report says Anderson, traveling north, lost control of her vehicle, which then went off the right side of the highway. Her car then hit a utility pole and overturned. Anderson was taken to Blessing Hospital with moderate injuries. That's why law enforcement officials tell you to slow down when it's wintry weather. That's exactly why. A Missouri state agency that works to help small businesses says it's formed a partnership with a Hannibal-based economic development agency. The Missouri Small Business Development Center and the University of Missouri Extension Business Development Programs announced Monday they've established a new SBDC office in partnership with the Hannibal Regional Economic Development Council. The Missouri SBDC provides small business owners personalized assistance to make what it says are, quote, confident business decisions, end quote. The SBDC offers one-on-one counseling by appointment and training events on various business topics. Those offices are located throughout the state in partnerships with colleges and universities and economic development organizations. The Missouri SBDC in Hannibal will serve Marion, Clark, Lewis, Shelby, Rawls, and Pike counties. The Hannibal Regional Economic Development Council head, Corey Mahaffey, says that they've been offering SBDC services in partnership with other counselors since the beginning of the year, and he adds there's already been a few success stories in the Hannibal market. Mahaffey says some new businesses have opened in historic downtown Hannibal after working with SBDC officers. And he says, quote, we look for that impact to increase significantly as we bring a full-time entrepreneurship specialist on staff in the coming weeks, end quote. HREDC is currently taking resumes for that new position. And Rawls County authorities are asking for your help after 3 deer poaching incidents in the last 2 days. Rawls County Sheriff's Office says the latest incident happened Sunday morning around 3 a.m., deputies say they were called to Highway M on a report of poaching. They reported that a witness saw a white truck built in the 1980s or 90s with no bed or license plates leaving the scene toward Highway 61. Deputies say they found a buck which had been freshly shot in a field where the poachers were. It's the 3rd deer in 48 hours to be poached in that area and then left behind. Rawls County Sheriff's Office wants your help in identifying the owner or owners of the truck and those involved. If you have any information about the case, you're asked to call the Rawls County Sheriff's Office or the Missouri Department of Conservation. And that is a look at the latest in local news. Of course, we'll have much more for you throughout the afternoon right here on WTAD.com and on our social media accounts, including both Twitter and Facebook.
And lengthy, adjective, comparative, more lengthy, superlative, most lengthy, most often, though, a misspelled form of lengthy. Archaic form of lengthy. Also.
But still a word.
But still a word. Lengthily, also a word. Having or being of great length, very long, a lengthy journey, tediously verbose, very long, too long, a lengthy. You're correct. It is not the most common form, but in our world, in our job of communicating, I did so.
So what Quaid is basically saying to me, Steve, is...
What's that?
Shut up, you stupid old man.
Or if I can condense it down to something a little bit more familiar to the audience, suck it, Scott.
There you go. 10:15. There you go.
Take a time out. And when we come back, the corruption tracker from Mr. Berg on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Is not what I thought you were going to
say. I told you.
I got the artist I recognized because I recognized the album cover that you were pulling up, but I thought you were going to go the ironic route and play that song.
Gotcha.
I'm showing Scott the, but I'm not even sure if this song is on that album.
I don't think so. I think that's early. This is with Crazy Horse, and he was
okay.
That would have been a nice poke at me, though, if it had been.
That, well, sure.
I played that one earlier, though.
It would have
so
played.
Was a good choice.
It would have played right along with the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Today's birthday, obviously, Neil Young.
Yeah.
My suggestion, or at least what I thought Steve was going to play, was Old Man. because that's essentially the game that we play. And we start at 70. Well, I saw a video of Neil Young yesterday. And,
Boy, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I saw years.
He looks old and rough, doesn't he?
The last several years have not been kind.
I saw it on Twitter, and it's like, other than his face, it was like, I don't need a razor.
I had trouble recognizing who it was until he smiled. As soon as he smiled and kind of started giggling with the person who was interviewing, now I'm like, okay, that's Neil Young. Before that, I'm like, is that who I think it is? Oh, like, yes, it is.
It's like you're almost waiting for him to say, you shall not pass.
So what do you think? How old?
I think he's way older than 70. Give me.
I'll go 79.
Ooh, I would say 70. Give me 77.
74. You're both wrong.
Oh, well, wow. He looks all of at least 90.
He looks
90.
80. Yeah. He's in Gray Slick territory. I got to tell you.
Is it Jimmy Fallon that did his imitation? That was just right on. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. Well, this guy's got voluminous amounts of work out there.
And the interesting thing is now, is the past few years, he's gotten behind, I can't even remember the standard now, but he's gotten behind a new digital standard that he's wanting the music industry to play.
Oh, didn't he like invent it or was involved or at least
involved.
Funded
the
inventing of it?
Yeah, he was involved in it, and everybody kind of took a look and said, eh, never mind.
Now, by standard, explain what you mean by standard. I mean, we in the business understand, but go ahead.
A compression standard, because basically when you get an MP3, that is a compressed music file, because a wave is just, that's what it is. It is a wave. It goes up and down, kind of like the radio waves do. When you compress a file, you're chopping off the high and the low ends that cannot be heard by the human ear. So if a dog heard a MP3, he would have a right to complain because he would be missing the highs and lows. But we cannot hear that, but it does that to save file space, and that's why it was invented. And the MP3 was invented by a German lab. The name of it escapes me at the moment. But, yeah, Neil got behind this new compression algorithm that supposedly was going to make music sound so much better. Honestly, the way that MP3s sound nowadays with the increasing kilohertz, you really can't tell.
Right, and you also get into the, well, I would talk about the degradation of the files, but that's a completely different matter.
Yeah. I mean, you do have that over time, especially if you keep them on like plastic, you know, like on a CD. Mm-hmm. Those do degrade, and you do have to move them or you will lose them.
Yeah, all right. But yeah, fascinating. And Steve's interesting choice there. If you're a fan, you notice that Mr. Young, diverse enough to be a little bit more acoustical singer-songwriter when he does stuff solo, but when he gets with his pals in Crazy Horse, he cranks it up and gets fuzzy, and the feedback's all there, and it's a different vibe.
I like it.
Yeah, I do. We used to listen to that live Rust album all the time.
Yeah. So yeah, find some Crazy Horse today and immerse yourself in Neil Young. Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Late last night, Austin Berg, friend of the show, put out his 2019 Illinois corruption tracker at Illinois Policy. He's broken it down into four segments, and this is thorough from Mr. Berg. He's got these segments being Illinois government, then you have the subsection Chicago government, other local government, which means surrounding areas and sections of the Chicagoland, and then you have the businesses, unions, and other political figures. And he acknowledges that corruption is one of those things that we've grown up with, that Illinois is known for, even though, as he points out, that Illinois, by some metric, is the third most corrupt state of the nation. And I know when we always see that, we're like, really? There are other places more corrupt than Illinois? Really? Wow. Find that astounding. But according to some measurements, and I don't know what those measurements are, he does have a link to all of these things at the piece, and we'll put them up at the News Roundtable Facebook page. He does say, though, that the size and scope of government corruption is nothing new here in the land of Lincoln. And I'll come back around to things that we're trying to do and have been trying to do to address corruption in our government through our government at the end. But he goes through and starts with the indicted in government. State Senator Tom Cullerton, Democrat from Villa Park. State Representative Luis Arroyo, Democrat from Chicago, who was arrested on account of bribery of a state official last month. He resigned from the House following that arrest. Raided State Senator Martin Sandoval, Democrat, Chicago. This was in September. We talked about this. The FBI and IRS raided Sandoval's home, as well as his government offices in Springfield and Cicero. The warrant shows that federal agents were looking for documents related to the red light camera company SafeSpeed. Also, Cook County Commissioner Jeff Tobolsky, Asphalt Boss, or as they call him, the Asphalt King, Michael Vondra, at least four ComEd or Exelon executives, Cesar Santoy and his architectural firm Studio Arc, Gold Rush Gaming, and the CEO there, Rick Heidner, and five unnamed Illinois Department of Transportation employees. Berg points out that State Senator Terry Link, Democrat from Gurnee, is cooperating with federal authorities. He is a member of the Legislative Ethics Committee. He also points to the aforementioned Santoy, who is Berwyn Alderman and Pritzker appointee to the Illinois Tollway Board. He resigned from the Tollway Board last month following the release of the Sandoval warrant, which showed that authorities sought information on Cesar Santoy and his architecture firm, Studio Arc. Governor Pritzker also withdrew his nomination at that time. In Chicago, you've heard these names before. Alderman Willie Cochran sentenced to prison, 1 year of prison, on a federal count of felony wire fraud earlier this year in June. Remember, this is just 2019. He admitted to stealing $14,000 from a charity that he created for needy children and seniors in his Southside ward, then used those stolen funds to pay for a Mercedes, accessories, his daughter's college tuition, and a gambling habit. He's the 34th Chicago alderman convicted on corruption charges since 1972. Alderman Ed Burke indicted on a 14-count corruption charge in May, including allegations that he tried to steer businesses to his property tax law firm by strong-arming the owner of a Burger King franchise in his ward. He pleaded not guilty. We've talked about that indictment previously on this show. Alderman Carrie Austin, her offices have been raided. Her 34th ward office, that was earlier this year in June. The investigation on her includes her purchase of a West Pullman home. I'm not reading through all of the details, all of the points of all of these people and their businesses, just because I'm trying to get through it, and time is of the essence. Former Alderman Danny Solis on this list. Question, former Chicago Department of Aviation Deputy Commissioner Bill Helm. It's interesting just reading through these, by the way, how everything seems to be interwoven, how everybody is connected through these particular businesses, Exelon, SafeSpeed, the different departments. It's fascinating to see how it's all woven together. Former Chicago Department of Aviation Deputy Commissioner Bill Helm has been questioned. In other local government, Lake Forest City Manager Bob Kiley, Cook County Commissioner and McCook Mayor Jeff Tobolsky, his offices were raided. Alderman Carey, we already read about Alderman Carey Austin's offices being raided. Lyons Mayor Chris Getty, Crestwood Mayor Lou Presta, also involved. Schiller Park was subpoenaed. They had a deal, a $5,000 a month lobbying contract with former Chicago Alderman Michael Zalewski, whose name will come up in just a bit. Allslip Mayor John Ryan, also questioned by the feds. Summit Mayor Sergio Rodriguez. In the business portion, you have local Teamsters President John Coley, who pleaded guilty to federal charges in an extortion case involving $325,000 in cash that he got from CineSpace. That's the Chicago Film Studios. They got a large state-backed film production facility on the west side of Chicago. He's a prominent ally of Speaker Madigan, former mayor, Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, and former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. Lake Forest real estate developer Charles Quee. These are names you might be hearing more in the future. Places raided. Close Madigan confidant and former ComEd lobbyist Mike McLean here in Quincy. Madigan ally, lobbyist, and former Chicago alderman Michael Zalewski. Madigan political lieutenant Kevin Quinn. ComEd lobbyist and City Club of Chicago president Jay Doherty. Bluff City Materials president Michael Vondra. That's the asphalt king. James Weiss. CineSpace Chicago president Alex Picios. Omar Mani. Exelon, ComEd, and Mr. Berg says that there have been plenty of things that have been brought up in Springfield to address the corruption, especially back following Governor Rod Blagojevich. These things have still not been enacted from 10 years ago, and I'm reminded of Representative McSweeney and his bill to tack on years to a guilty sentence against elected officials in Springfield at the Capitol. Perhaps that might should extend to the rest of the state as well, per abuse of the trust of the public. We'll put up on my Twitter page and at the News Roundtable Facebook page Mr. Berg's thorough piece on the Illinois corruption, his 2019 corruption tracker. That is the Tuesday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You should be here, too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.